Okay, today's staff is Mem Zion. We're going to start right at the top at the three dots. We'll forge them up for the week. Sarah Chabatova, Worley Penina Bat Racha Frida, Yamir Bat Chaya, Rafael Levi Rachamim Ben Sipor, Dvor Rubio Bat Freda Gila, Roni Bat Sara, Avamuna Bat Chava, Yelet Rivka Bat Chaya Sara, Chana Lea Bat Fredo, Viluay Nishmat, Harav Tzvi Chaim Ben Lea Eto, Moshe Chaim Ben Ahuva, Hershel Tzvi Shlomo Chaim Ben Gina Sam. So we want to start at the top here. We're going back to the Mishnah. If you remember, we were talking about people who are chashed al shvuah, people who are suspect that they're liars. So what do we do if generally they're supposed to, let's say, moda b'miktzat, they say, I only owe you 50 instead of 100, instead of the claimant was 100, he has to give a shvuah. But if he's chashed al shvuah, then we flip the shvuah onto, and it becomes one of what we call a shvuah nishba v'notel. You swear, and then you can collect the money. The mava can collect the money rather than the standard shvuah, which is supposed to be nishba v'eino mashalem. You swear, and then you just exempt yourself from the payment. So if you're chashed al shvuah, and we gave a list in the Mishnah, okay, the one we're up to, we had if you swore falsely in a different situation or something like that, then you're going to be, then you can't swear, and therefore you're going to be chashed al shvuah. And then they continue to list the people who were mentioned in the Mishnah in Sanhedrin who were pasul le'edut. So they start here with Hayacha mehem esachek b'kubiya, and the continuation of the list is Sochare Shvi'it and the Milavei Ribit, etc. So the Gemara says, Hatu lamali, isn't it obvious? Right? In other words, that these people, if they're pasul le'edut, they'll be chashed al shvuah. And we already said if they swore falsely, so that should include also these people. Tana psula d'oraita v'katana psula d'rabbanan. The same, the Tana first mentioned people who are pasul mida oraita, and then they wanted to list the psula edut who are also pasul mida rabbanan. So they just wanted to let you know that, by the way, also the psulim d'rabbanan, like the meschik pubiya and all those which are only psulim mida rabbanan, right, the psulim mida oraita or the gazlan and people who are more outright psulim. So then it added the list of psula edut d'rabbanan, and that's why these are mentioned. Then we had this case that we said when we get to the Mishnah, when we get to the Gemara, we're going to understand. It said, Hayush nehem chashudim. What if both are chashed al shvuah, right? So it starts with the first one, the nitba. He can swear because he's chashed al shvuah. So the shvuah goes to the malva. The malva can now swear. But the malva is also chashed al shvuah. So there was a machloket in the Mishnah. I'm just going back to see it inside. And the Mishnah said, okay, it's four lines from the top on Mem Hamud Aleph. Hayushneim chashudim chazra hashvuah l'mkoma d'vei Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi said the shvuah goes back to its place. We're going to have to understand what this means. We're going to have two interpretations. Rabbi Meir omer yachloku. Rabbi Meir says they split the money 50-50. So if the malva said you owe me 100, the lova said I only owe you 50, so he pays 25. Okay, they split the extra 25. They split the 50. That's the one under debate. So, we're now going to have a question. Amar le Rava le Rav Nachman, hechitnan. How do we read this Mishnah? Meaning, okay, well, it's unclear, but you'll see from the continuation, what he means is Rabbi Yossi the one who said the first opinion that chazra shvuah alim koma, or is it Rabbi Meir who said it? We have it in our Mishnah that Rabbi Yossi said it, and Rabbi Meir said yachloku. But he said, I'm not really sure if that's the right version. He says to him, how do you learn this Mishnah? He says to Rav Nachman. So Rav Nachman answers, Amar lei lo yadana. I really don't know. Now, why does it matter who says what? Because we have all these principles in halacha that if these two people are fighting, we generally paskin like one of them. So it happens that between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Meir, we actually paskin like Rabbi Yossi. So therefore, it's important to know which opinion Rabbi Yossi held because we're going to paskin that way. So he says, I don't really know. So then he says, well, you don't really know, hilchatamai, so what's the halacha? Amarle lo yadana. He says, I don't know. Now they say, Itmar, it was said that Amar Rav Yosef bar Menyumi, Amar Rav Nachman, but now it was said later, okay, again, this is a debate. Tosfot says, and we're going to see later that Rav Nachman does, they say that Rav Nachman actually did based on one of the opinions. So what do you mean? Rav Nachman just told us that he told Rav Rava that he didn't know. So Tosfot claims it was a lapse in time. Originally, he didn't know, and then maybe he looked into it and figured out and determined that we're going to paskin in a particular way. And Rav Yosef Bar Menyumi is saying that Rav Nachman, you know, maybe later paskin in a particular way, and that's how he holds. Alternatively, it could be just different versions, right? Now, some people thought that Rav Nachman did know, and some people said Rav Nachman didn't know. You know, there's always a problem in the way these things are passed down and what people knew, what they didn't know. So it could be debatable what Rav Nachman really held. Either Rav Nachman says, I don't know, or Rabbi Yossi Bar Miyumi says, in the name of Rav Nachman, Rabbi Yossi Omer Yachloku. He actually has the opposite nosach of our Mishnah. And he actually thinks that we would, if Rabbi Yossi says Yachloku, then we're going to paskim Yachloku. V'chein tani Rav Zvi bar Oshaya, and likewise Rav Zvi, the son of Oshaya, learned Rabbi Yossi Omer Yachloku, and as he read our Mishnah as Rabbi Yossi said Yachloku. Okay, so two versions to support the opposite reading of our Mishnah. Ika da'amre, some people say, now we're going to have a different, okay, so this was Rabbi Yossi bar Miyumi said the name of Rav Nachman, that Rabbi Yossi said Yachloku, and Rav Zvi, the son of Oshaya, taught that Rabbi Yossi said Yachloku. Some people said that it was a little different. It's the same gist, which is Rabbi Yossi says Yachloku, but they said it differently. Rav Zvi says in the name of Rabbi Oshaya, not Rav Zvi, the son of Oshaya, but Rav Zvi said in the name of Rabbi Oshaya, that Rabbi Yossi omer Yachloku, and I'm Rabbi Yossi bar Miyumi, instead of saying that Rav Nachman says this, he says, Avid Rav Nachman Uvda Yachloku. He actually paskened in a particular case and split the money 50-50. So again, that would support the fact that Rabbi Yossi holds Yachloku when we pasken like him. Okay? But it's just different ways of saying that. So basically, the whole gist is there was reason to support the fact that our Nisach is opposite, in which case we're going to go like Rabbi Yossi, who says Yachloku, and not the Rabbi Yossi in our Mishnah, who says Chazrah Shvu'alim Koma. We still haven't figured out what does it mean, Chazra Shvu'al and Koma. So that's what the Gemara is going to do right now. Lehechan Chazra, where does it go back to? To where? Amar Rabbi Ami. Rabbi Ami says it's a machloket between Rabotenu Sheba Eretz Yisrael and Rabotenu Sheba Babel. After that, the Gemara is going to establish who are exactly these, right? As if all the rabbis in Babel agree on one thing and all the rabbis in Eretz Yisrael agree on one thing, right? He wants to know who is the particular rabbi that they were referring to, or rabbis that they were referring to, that said this in either Babel or Eretz Yisrael, and we're going to find statements of these people that would seem to support their reading. Amar Rabbi Ami, Rabotenu Shebebabel Amru, Chazra Shvua L'Sinai. What does that mean? The Shvua goes back to Matan Torah, which means really it goes back to Hashem, meaning we don't do anything. The money stays where it is, right? We just leave it. And we assume that God will kick in and, you know, make sure that the money ends up in the right place or that the liar gets punished, and we kind of leave it like that. Rabotenu Sheba Eretz Yisrael Amru, Chazra Shvua L'Mechuyav La. Okay, this is like if you pass in a game, okay, or you pass on something. So the first guy can't take the Shvua, so the Nitba, the one who... He says, you owe me money, and he's supposed to say, right, he says, I only owe you 50. He's supposed to take Shavua, but he's suspect, so he can't. And then it flips to the Malveh, but the Malveh is also suspect, so the Shavua goes back to the Nitba, the Loveh, and the Loveh can then swear and not have to pay. Okay? So Chazra Shavua L'Mechuyav La. Amar Rav Papa, Rabotenu Sheba Bavel, Rabu Shmuel. Rabotenu Sheba Eretz Yisrael, Rabbi Abba. Okay, so now he identifies who are these people. One second. Right, okay, so who are these people? Rabotenu Sheba Bavel, Rav Shmuel Ditnan. Okay, we're going to learn it from a Mishnah. It says in the Mishnah, and obviously it's going to have to be an explanation on the Mishnah of Rav and Shmuel. Our Mishnah says, V'chein ha'yitomim lo yiparu ela b'shvua. Remember that case we said, we brought in the Mishnah from Ketubot, and we said, just like all these people, you have to take a shvua, and one of them was, you have to, if you want to claim money from an orphan, the father of the orphan owed money, you have to swear that the father never paid you back, so the people don't take advantage of yitomim. And then it said, and likewise, yitomim themselves can't collect a loan from someone unless they swear. What do they have to swear? Remember, they don't swear, we know for sure, but they swear that from everything we know, we have no evidence that you paid our father back. Our father didn't tell us anything on his deathbed. Our father, we didn't find anything between his documents that would indicate that you paid the money back, etc. So now, the Gemara is going to question on the next daf, which we'll see now, so it'll be easier when we get to it tomorrow. V'hevina ba'i was asked on that Mishnah, Miman, who exactly are they, do they have to swear to? You know, we're going to now say that this Mishnah doesn't apply across the board. It's not a yatom collecting a loan from anybody. It's It's going to be a particular case. Why? Ilema malve avuhon. Sorry. How do you read this? Ilema milove milove. If we're going to say he wants to collect from the love, okay? So a father leaves over, lends money to a person. He dies. The yatom goes directly to the love, to that person, and he has to swear. That's a very strange situation. Why would he have to swear? Avuhon shakile b'lo shvua, v'inu b'shvua. We're going to be more machmir on the yatom than his father. If the father went to collect the loan from the love, the father wouldn't have to swear, you never pay me back. So why are we making the yatom? Remember, we always want to make sure not to take advantage of yatomim. So why are we making the yatom more disadvantaged than his father would have been? So it can't possibly be that this means a yatom who collects a regular loan from the love. Because if his father wouldn't have to take the swear to get the money, then obviously he shouldn't have to swear to get the money. So that can't be the case. Ela hachi kamar. This is what the Mishnah really means. V'chein hayitomim min hayitomim lo yiparu ela b'shvua. Yitomim who want to collect from other yitomim can only collect with a shvua. Okay, meaning father lends his money to the other guy's father, both of them die, the yitomim have to swear to the other yitomim to get their money. Okay, now, but this is a little complicated because Rav and Shmuel de Amrei Travayu lo shanu ela, it's going to depend on the order of who died first. Lo shanu ela shemet milve. Malve, sorry, bechaye love. It's only in the case where the malve died when the love was still alive. Okay, we'll get to the other situation. We'll first explain the other situation because they do have a process of elimination. It can't be the other situation. Mate love, bechaye malve. If the love dies first, what happens? The malve is supposed to collect the money from the yitomim of the love. Now, remember, what did the halacha say? What does he have to do in that case? He has to swear to get the money. Now, what does he have to swear? He has to swear, I swear I never get pay back this money. Your father didn't give me the money. So what's the problem? That can't go get passed on to his children. His children can't take a shvu in that case. Why? Because we're going to learn something interesting. Kfar nitchayev malve, libnei love shvua. Okay, the malve already, if the love dies first, the malve wants to get the money from the children, he has to swear. So he's nitchayev shvua to the b'nei love. Ve'ein adam morish shvua lebanav. It's a very interesting concept. The malve can't pass on chiyuv shvua to his children. We're going to talk about this in a minute, why this is. Before we talk about why, let's explain. So what's the ramification? If the malve can't pass on his shvua, so the love dies first, then he's supposed to collect the money from the atonement, but he has to swear. If he wants to get that money, right, he's chayav shvua. So the only way he can get that money is if he swears. And what does he swear? I never got paid in my lifetime, right? I never got paid this loan. The love never paid me back. But he doesn't, in fact, swear. And before that, right, before he swears, he dies. At this point, his chayav shvua cannot get passed on to his children. Now, we're going to talk about why this is, but if his chiyuv shvua can't get passed on to his children, what does that mean? There's no way that they can collect this loan, because they can only collect the loan by swearing, and since they can't swear, because he can't pass on a shvua to his children, that means that this money cannot be collected. So therefore, it can't mean yatomim mina yatomim is that case. So therefore, the case of yatomim mina yatomim has to be that the malve died first, and then before the kids collected the money, which if they wanted to collect the money from the love, they could have without swearing, because the father himself could have collected it without swearing. So therefore they could have, but they didn't yet collect it, and then the love dies. And in that case, the yatomim have to swear to the yatomim. That's the case of the Mishnah. Is only yatomim from yatomim, and only in the case where the malve died first. And therefore, they have a chiyuv shvua. The malva died, then the lova died, and they want to collect the money. Now I want to go back to this issue of ein adam morish shvua lebanav. So I saw an answer given, and that made sense, which is that this shvua is the shvua that the father has to pay is, I swear that your father didn't pay me back. Now the shvua that the children can take can't be the same shvua. The only way to get this money is to say, I swear I never got paid. But they can't say, I swear my father never got paid. The only thing they can say is, as far as we know, right? My father never told me that he got paid. I couldn't find it in his shtarot. It's not a definitive claim. And therefore, this kind of shvua, since he was already chayav to take a certain type of shvua, you can't pass on a chayav shvua to someone who can't take the same type of shvua as you. That's one way of looking at it. I thought of a different way, which is that if the father didn't take a shvua, now we don't know why he didn't take a shvua. Maybe he didn't have a chance to take it, maybe, right? But maybe he didn't want to take a shvua. Remember, the whole reason for taking a shvua is what? Again, there's two different ways of looking at it, but one reason is to show, are you telling the truth, right? We want to establish ne'emanut. Now, if the father wasn't able to establish ne'emanut, and the children are only coming as verifying as far as they know from their father, if the father, right, we don't really know the truth, whether the father collected the loan or not, and the father's not here to tell us anymore. So if he didn't take a shvua, maybe he didn't take a shvua because he didn't want to take a shvua, maybe he really was lying. And therefore, if he was unwilling to take a shvua, how can we let his children take a shvua? There's a problem with the ne'emanut of the father since he actually never took the shvua. Now, obviously, it might make a difference when the father died instantly right after, you know, and there wasn't a chance. But obviously, halacha can't make, can't start determining, well, it depends how long he was alive and whether he had the opportunity to take a shvua or not. So it might be just simply, we just don't do this kind of thing because if the father himself didn't take it, the children who are, it's a little similar to this because since it's the same kind of idea. I'm just maybe taking it one step further, which is if they can't take the same shvua as the father, right? So then they can't establish ne'emanut for the father because if the father wasn't willing to do it himself, then how can they come as claiming we know, you know, our father was definitely telling the truth when they don't, and the father didn't take a shvua himself, so he was already suspect. What did you want to add, Ani?
I'm just trying to figure out I'm trying to picture this in my head how it plays out practically.
So according to this, if the malveh dies first, so let's just go through the cases. The malveh dies first, the children inherit the loan of the father. They can't collect it because the... one second, let me just get it straight now. If the malveh dies first...
Because he didn't...
Then, no, if, sorry, I'm giving the other case. If the malveh dies first and then the loveh dies, so they can collect... If the malveh dies first, at that moment, the yatomim can collect from the loveh himself. So therefore, when the loveh dies, they can collect from the yatomim, but they have to swear. Okay? We don't make them swear to the loveh only because we don't treat them any more severely than we treated their father. And their father could have collected a loan without swearing. So that's that case. But if the loveh dies first, then the malveh would have to collect only with a shvua. And his children then, when he dies, he can't pass over that shvua to his children. And therefore, they can never collect the money. Okay, they just don't get that loan back. They're stuck. Okay, it's a bad situation for them. What does this have to do with anything? So remember, what were we trying to explain? Now we have to go back. Rav Papa said, Rabotenu shebibavel, okay, and as Rabbi Ami had said, Rabotenu shebibavel say chazra shvua l'sinai. What does chazra shvua l'sinai mean? There's nothing we could do about it, right? We can't. It's just like, so Rav Papa says, oh, when he said Rabotenu shebibavel chazra shvua l'sinai, he's saying, no, in which case do you say Chazra Shvua L'Sinai? Right? That was the case of Shnehem Chashudim Al Shvua. So here it's similar. It's not that they're Chashudim Al Shvua, it's just we can't let them take a Shvua. So if we can't let them take a Shvua, what do? Nothing. Right? That's Chazra Shvua L'Sinai. We do nothing about it. So therefore they say, right, Urav Shmuel de Amr Travai, U Loshanu Elisha Mate Malva Bachayalov, Alba Mate Lova Chay Malva, Karmatray Malva, Libne Lova Shvua, Ben Amr Shvua Labanath. Period. So that means they can't take a shvua, and we leave the money where it is. They can't collect the loan. Same thing if we're chashud al shvua. Nobody takes a shvua, can't collect the loan, okay? We just leave it. But Rabotenu, you can argue that these are not exactly comparable, but we'll leave it at the comparison of the Gemara. Rabotenu shebe'er, because right here it's not that shnehem chashudim al shvua, just a situation where you cannot take a shvua. Not exactly the same thing. Rabotenu shebe'eretz Yisrael must be Rabbi Abba. Okay, this is Rav Papa continuing. Remember, Rabbi Ami said, these are Rabbi Tanya Shabbat Yisrael, you know, that means that person, and that means that person. You know, he said, I'm sorry, my mistake. He just said, Rabbi Ami said, the Rabbi Tanya of Babel said, Chazra Shvua L'Sinai, Rabbi Tanya Shabbat Yisrael said, Chazra Shvua L'Mechuyav La, and Rav Papa tries to identify who's who. So he identified Rav and Shmuel must be the ones in Babel. And Rabbi Abba must be the one in Eretz Israel. Why? Again, we're trying to come up with Chazra Shvua L'mechuyav La, right? We give it back to the person who was originally supposed to take the Shvua. Here's a famous story that we've seen a few times already. Hahu Gavra Dechataf Nas Chamechavre. He grabs a piece of silver from his friend. Ata the Kameh de Rav Ami. They come before Rav Ami. Yativ Rabbi Abba Kameh. And Rabbi Abba was sitting in front of Rav Ami. Aite Chad Sade de Michtap Chat Femineh. So we now have one witness who says that the guy grabbed a piece of silver. Amar Lei, so the Nitba, right, the one who's the dependent, says, Im, you're right. Okay, this one witness happens to be right. Chatfe, I did grab this piece of silver. However, Didi Chatfe, I was grabbing my own piece of silver. Okay, this is called Nascha Rabbi Abba. It's a famous case. And he says, yes, I grabbed my own piece of silver. Amar Rabbi Ami, Hecha Ledainu. How can we, Rabbi Ami says, how can I judge this case? Dine, and now he says, this is my hitlab tut, okay? This is, I don't know what to do. Dine lahai dina nemale zil shleim. If I want to, sorry, hechali dine lahai dina. How can the judges judge this case? Nemale zil shleim. If I say go pay like a tresade, and I don't have two witnesses that say he stole the money. Niftere, if I potter him, well, ikachad sade. Right, I have one witness that says he stole it, so I do have one witness at least. Neimale zil ishtiba, so one witness is generally mechayev shvua. Right, so why doesn't he swear? Well, now what's the problem? What did the aide say? The aide said he took the piece of silver, and what did he say? Yes, I did take the piece of silver. However, it was mine. So what is a shvuat eid echad? A shvuat eid echad is the Eid Echad said something, and you say, I deny the Eid Echad. He's not denying what the Eid Echad said. The only thing he can do, right, he verified what the Eid Echad said. So he can't, the Shvuat Eid Echad, so we'll see in a minute, right, it says here, it doesn't exactly say this inside, that's why I want to explain it, but anyway, let's continue. It says, Zil Eshteba. So he says, Kevan de Amar Michtav Chatve, since he said I in fact stole it, Have like a gazlan. He's like a gazlan, because he did say he stole it. He just said, well, it was my own, though. Okay, he says, it wasn't theft, but I did take it. So again, it's not exactly written in the pshat here, but the Mefreshim explain, or Rashi explains, that you can see, if you look five lines from the bottom of Rashi here, it says, She'ein zo shvuah mutelet alav. The shvua that an eid echad is matil alav is to say, I didn't take it. But he actually says, I did take it. So therefore, he can't deny, right, normally you can have eid echad, and a shvua to stand up against the eid echad. This shvua doesn't stand up against the eid echad. What would he say? I swear I took my own. Well, that, right, I swear it was mine. That's not a shvua eid echad. The shvua eid echad is to deny the claim of the eid echad. So therefore, we can't accept his claim. So therefore, we can't, right, I can't be mechayev him because I have two witnesses, but I can't have him be exempt through a shvua because I can't be mechayev a shvua because the shvua he would take, right, is a gazlan, which is a little bit like chashad al shvua, right? In other words, he cannot take a shvua. So Amar le Rabbi Abba, and this is why it's called Nischa de Rabbi Abba, even though the case came up before Rabbi Ami, Rabbi Abba says to him, Haya mechuyev shvua, this guy is a mechuyev shvua, ve'ein yacholi shaba, but he can't swear. In other words, he is chayev shvua because there was eid echad. But this guy can't swear, in other words, again, he can't swear not because he's not believed, but he can't swear because his shvua, right, he verified what the Eid Echad said. So therefore, he says, v'chol ha-mechuyav shvua ve'eino yachol lishaba mishalem. He says, anyone who's mechayav shvua and can't swear has to pay. Okay, so therefore, that would support the claim, v'chazra shvua l'mkoma means chazra shvua l'mechuyav la. And if he doesn't swear, then he, in fact, has to pay. Okay? So, in other words, the shvua still goes back to him. Okay? We don't say, what did Rabbi Tanya Shvua Israel say? They said, well, if he can't take a shvua and the other guy can't take a shvua, well, we just let things go and we leave the status quo. Here we say, no. The shvua goes back to him. If the shvua goes back to you and you can't swear, then what happens? Then you have to pay because you can't exempt yourself through the shvua. So, if you can't exempt yourself from the shvua, you have to pay. So, in fact, the halacha of Eretz Israel is you'd have to pay. Amar Rava, kabate de Rabbi Abba Mistabro. Okay, and I can support Rabbi Abba's claim. Why? Detane Rabbi Ami. Rabbi Ami brought a braita that says, Shvuat Hashem tia ben shnehem. This is Shvuat Hashomrim. Velo ben hayorshim. Okay, what's the drasha in this pasuk? Shvuat Hashem is between the two shomrim and not between the inheritors of the shomrim. Hechidami, what's the case? Ilema da amar le manal abba biyad avichai. One says to the other, right, my father gave your father something and your father never returned it. Va'amarle, and he says to him, right, and it has to be, what's the shvua here? This is a shvua moda b'miktzad, okay? So, amarle chamishim itle v'chamishim leitle. If he says, well, it wasn't 100 that your father gave my father, it was 50, or he already gave back 50, but there's still another, I agree, I owe you 50. So, malihu, mali avua, is why should we say lo bein ha-yorshim? If the father would have to take a shvua, so we can allow the child to take a shvua in a moda b'mikta case. So, el alav, so what's the exception that the yorshim can't take a shvua? Da'amar le manali abav yad avicha, your father has 100, right? You owe my father lent 100 shekel to your father, and your father never paid it back. Amar lo, chamishim yadana v'chamishim lo yadana. I know that that there's 50 I have to pay you back, but I don't know about the other 50. That's not the same as saying he doesn't owe you the other 50. That's a case where, again, he says, I don't know. If you say you don't know, what's the situation? You can't swear. No, you can't swear if you don't know. Moda b'miktzad is, I only owe you 50. I know that I don't owe you the other 50. Okay? This is, I don't know. Now, if the kid said he doesn't know, he can't swear about something he doesn't know, right? So, i'amar bishlama aviv ki agavna mechayev. If you say the father, in that case, would be mechayev shvua, and, because it's moda b'miktzad, but since he can swear, right, so, because he says ani yodea, right? Let's say the father didn't know, so he wouldn't take a shvua either. So, itzrich krala miftar gabe yorshim. Well, then, if the father himself couldn't swear, then obviously the yorshim can't swear. Ela i'amar aviv ki agavna nami patur. No, sorry, I said this wrong. Let's say it like this: i'amar bishlama aviv ki agavna mechayev. If it was a case where the father did know. Right? The first case. We're just explaining what we already explained, which is if the father did know, I swear I didn't have the 50, well then we need the kra lemifta garbe yorshim. So we're basically going to say, one second, did I say this right? No, I said that. One second. Yamar bishlama aviv ki agavna mechayev shvua. So now we're talking after Iyamar Bishlama. If we say Aviv ki Hagavna would be Mechayev, the question is the father Chayev Shvua Moda B'Miktzad in this case? The father says, I don't know. So there's, he could be Chayev, in other words, that is Moda B'Miktzad because he does admit 50 and he's Chayev Shvua. What's the problem? He can't take the shvua, right? That's exactly what we're trying to find a case. Where someone's chayav a shvua, but they can't take it. So if we say the father, it's the yadana case, right? The yadana, the 50 I know about, 50 I don't know. If we say the father's chayav a shvua in that case, then the whole chidush is, well, the yatom isn't chayav a shvua, okay? So if you say the father's chayav a shvua, ki agavna mechayev, then it's rich kra lemiftar garbe yorshim. But ela iamart aviv ki agavna nami patur. But if you'd say the father in a lo yadana case doesn't have to swear, meaning what would you do? If he doesn't have to swear, well then he just doesn't pay. Then you wouldn't need, right? Ki agavna nami patur kraga beyorshim lamali. You wouldn't need a pasuk to exempt the yatomim. So therefore, it must be that the father is chayav in a lo yadana case. It's just he can't, and since he can't, what happens? He has to pay. Okay, in other words, in theory, he's chayav shvua and just can't. And here we're saying the yatomim, though, are patur from a shvua, meaning they don't have to pay. So in that same case, the yatomim won't have to pay, but the father himself would have. And what does it prove? That a chashal ala shvua, or, right, we keep equating, chashal ala shvua means you just can't take a shvua because you don't know definitively. If you don't know definitively, well, you can't swear about it. So that kind of person is going to be considered equated with chashal ala shvua. And what do we see here? That he, in theory, he has to pay. So that shows chazrash fu ala mechuyav la, and if he can't do it, then he has to pay. Okay, as opposed to, if you just say, it's chazrash fu ala sinai, then just the money stays where it is and he doesn't actually have to pay. Okay, so this is a braita that supports, again, depending on how you read the braita, but he eventually concludes, this is the only way to read the braita, then you'd have to say that he doesn't, you know, according, if you read the braita this way, it supports Rabbi Abba, that he in fact has to pay. Okay, because again, the Yorshim don't have to pay, but it must mean the father would have to pay. Because you're not going to exempt the Yorshim in a case where the father is also exempt. So it would have to be the father's chayav, and only the Yorshim are exempt. So now they want to know if this is the way they darshan tefuat Hashem tia ben shnehem v'lo ben ayorshim. Well, that goes against Rav and Shmuel. Because Rav and Shmuel disagree with Rabbi Abba. If the Braita supports Rabbi Abba, it goes against Rav and Shmuel. Rav and Shmuel, hai shfuat Hashem maika darshebe. So what are they darshan with those words? Shfuat Hashem tia ben shnehem. Obviously, what are they darshaning on? The shnehem. Between those two, not any other two. Right? Not the yorshim. So, what do they say? Mibayle lechiditanya, we need it for something else. And from here, we're going to get into a slew of statements that are said by Shimon ben Tarfon. Shimon ben Tarfon omer, Shfuat Hashem tiyeh ben shnehem, milameh shashfua chala al shnehem. This is a very interesting halacha. It doesn't, you can't really tell from the words here what he means. What does it mean? It means that if Amen, and let's say I lent you something of mine, or I loaned you money, and then you pay me back half, and you didn't pay me back, or you, let's say you you didn't pay me back, no, you paid me back half, you claim, no, 1 second, I claim you didn't pay me back at all, you claim you pay me back half, that's moda b'miktzah, you have to swear, right, you swear that you paid back half, but in fact, you lied. Okay, you took a false oath. So with Rabbi Tarfon said, Rabbi Shimon ben Tarfon said, or actually it's not called Rabbi Shimon, it's called Shimon ben Tarfon. I'm not sure why I didn't look him up exactly. I assume he's the son of Rabbi Tarfon. Anyway, what does he say? You swore falsely under oath, I'm partially responsible. Shvuat Hashem tia ben shnehem, hashvuah chala al shnehem. The false oath lies on both of us. So why am I responsible? So the point is that I should be smart enough, and this goes back to some things we learned in Sanhedrin. Like, you shouldn't associate with people who aren't good people, you shouldn't sit on a court with people who aren't honest people, you shouldn't lend money to people who are dishonest people, and you shouldn't have gotten involved. You should check out before, is you're responsible, because again, it's indirect. This goes back to maybe Grumma Benizikin or Yuchayav or Pator, but you caused someone else to swear falsely, basically. You got this person into the situation where they swore falsely, and you're partially responsible. Because you should not have gotten into a business dealing with someone who's dishonest who would end up swearing falsely. So that was your mistake. So you're partially, you're obviously not fully responsible, and you're obviously, he doesn't mean, you know, in a court of law they're going to punish you. But he says you have responsibility on your head, which is a very interesting statement. And most of his statements, except for I think one really doesn't fit in, but most of his statements are going to fit in with this theory, both l'tova v'l'ra'a. Okay, the first few are l'ra'a. Shimon ben Tarfon omer, azhara la'okev achar ha-no'ef minayin. Someone who helps someone, who is assists someone to commit adultery. I was thinking of, you know, prostitution and the person who, you know, rents out the prostitutes or things like that, or just any kind of helping somebody to commit adultery. Minayin, tamud lamar, lo tin'af. You can also read it as lo tan'if. Don't cause others to commit adultery. So you're also responsible. Okay, this is interesting. If I think about the opposite of what we talked about in Sanhedrin, we learned about all those cases, or no, it was in Makot, about all the cases where you're not responsible if you murder someone and you don't get the death penalty, right? That if you thought he was someone else, and all sorts of crazy cases that we said, what? You're not responsible? But again, they didn't want to have the death penalty unless you were fully responsible. But Shimon Tarfon saying you're responsible, obviously, if you're, and nowadays, right, you don't give capital punishment to two people for killing one person according to Jewish law. But, you know, nowadays, if you're an accessory to a crime, you know, you're considered as if you're fully responsible for the crime. And this is what Shimon Tarfon is saying. Anyone who's an accessory to the crime is part of the crime. Don't try to say, oh, I'm not responsible. V'teragnu ba'alechem. Okay, this is in Ched HaMeraglim. So it says they
slandered.
What?
Slandered.
Oh, slandered? Oh, I saw a different interpretation. Okay, they slandered in their ohalim. Right? They say, basically, we don't want to go up to the land. You know, the Shimon Tarfon Omer. How does he explain Teragnu? It's a notrikon, where it's an abbreviation. Tartem biginitem bo'alo shamakom. Okay, what's the ohalechem? Ohalechem means in their tents. But here they say, no. It's a reference to they tartem. They went and toured the land. And Ginitem, okay, that's a tar, and ganu, te ragnu. So the tough resh is tartem. Gimel nun is ginitem. You condemn ba'alosh ha'malchum, you condemn God. Okay, it's basically going against God. Ad ha'nahar, that's one a little bit less fits in with the whole theory. Ad ha'nahar gadol nahar prat. Okay, so this is right, 1 second, this pasuk is, right, these are the borders of Eretz Israel until the nahar gadol nahar prat. Shimon mitarfen where? Karav legabe dihini ve'idhen. Okay, it's saying Nahar Prat was not so gadol, but because it was next to, right, they say because it was next to, I guess the Yama Gadol, is that what it is? Oh no, sorry. What they say here, right, he explains it like this. 1 second. Right, it was the smallest of the four Naharot, but it was called the Nahar Gadol Nahar Prat, because it was considered as part of the Gvulot of Eretz Israel, and because of that, it had more chashivut than the other Naharot of Bavel, okay, in that area. So they're basically saying, because it was associated with Eretz Israel, it was called Gadol. So what does it say? Krav l'gabei dihini bi'idhan. If you get close to the person who's Mashuach b'shemen ha'mishcha, you will be great also. And this is the opposite of his first statement, which is, stay away from people who are dishonest. Now he's saying, be mitkarev to people who are great, and you'll achieve greatness yourself. Okay, so we have this whole theory about, you know, watch who you associate with and try to be careful about all that stuff. Okay, last statement that's not said by him, but in a similar vein, Deber Yishmael Tana, Eved Melech Kimelech, right? The servant of a king is like a king. Again, you get status by living around the king. Okay, getting down to this last case, this next case in the Mishnah, the Chembaniel Pinkaso. This was the strange case where we had a whole debate about a person says to the storekeeper, go pay my workers. The workers claim they never got paid. The storekeeper claims, I paid them. The balabayit is stuck because both people are saying, I want my money. The chembani says, I want you to pay me the money I fronted for you. And the workers say, we want to get paid our salary. So there's a machlokin in the Mishnah. Everyone agrees the balabayit has to pay both of them. It's just a matter of, do they have to swear to get their money? Or do they not have to swear to get their money? Do they get their money without swearing? Because Benanas, if you remember, said, what, you're going to make a shvachav? We know somebody's lying. We're not going to make them both swear because definitely somebody's lying. So now we're going to see that Rebbe maybe had a different approach. Tanya, Amar Rebbe, Torach Shvua Zolama. What do you need the Shvua for? It's not exactly what he's asking. It sounds like he's asking, I don't know what to do here. So Amar Le Rabbi Chia, says, Tanina, it says, Shnehem Nishpa'im V'notzlimi Balabayit. As he says, it says in our Mishnah, that both of them swear and take from the balabayit. So what's your question, really? So now they say, kiblimine or lo kiblimine? Did Rebbe accept Rabbi Chiya's interpretation that both of them swear and take from the balabayit or not? There's one option is that, it's what would be the obvious option to do here, and why don't we do this? It should be really, who's the debate between? The balabayit has nothing to do with this anymore. The debate is really between the two people who are potentially lying, right? One or the other is lying, either the chembani or the workers. Why don't we just have the workers swear to the chembani and take the money from the chembani, or the chembani swear to the workers and take the money from them? Why don't we do that? The main reason we don't do that is because these two people never agreed to anything with each other. It's the chembani had an arrangement with the balabayit, and the workers had an arrangement with the balabayit. And shvu is all about when you get it. It goes back to what Shimon ben Tarfon said: when you get into an interaction with someone, you know that you're going to trust them in the event that you have an issue. If they swear, you'll believe them. But the chembani and the poalim, it wasn't their choice to get involved with each other, right? They each had an agreement with the balabayit. So when they have a disagreement, if one swears to the other, they say, well, your shvuah doesn't mean anything to me. I didn't trust you ever about this. So therefore, that's the reason why we don't want to have them interact directly. So Tashma, Detanya, let's learn from here whether Rebbe agreed with the Chneim Nishba'im V'notlimi Balabayit or not. So it says in a Braita, Rebbe Omer Po'alim Nishba'im L'chemvani. So Rebbe, in fact, says the Po'alim do swear the Chemvani. Like I just said a second ago, right? This is why it wasn't mentioned in our Mishnah as an option. But according to this Braita, Rebbe thought it was an option. Those are the two people who have the issue. Let them swear to the other, right? So the Po'alim should swear to the Chemvani and get their money. V'im'ita, and if he agreed with the Mishnah, L'balabayim e'bayle, he should have said to the balabayit, right? It would, if obviously he doesn't agree with our Mishnah. He says explicitly here in the Braita, he doesn't agree with our Mishnah. So Amar Rava, Rava says no. When he said, Po'alim nishmin l'chemvani, what did he mean? Poalim nishbein lebalabai b'ma'amad chenvani. The Poalim swear to the Balabai while the Chemvani is standing there. Why do we make the Chemvani stand there? Because it's easy for them to swear and lie to the Balabai when the Balabai has no clue what happened. But if the Chemvani is standing there, it's again about this me'iz. Are you going to you're gonna lie when the person's right there? Okay, this reminds me, by the way, of Ketubot also. When we had all these cases of, did she have Betulim? Did she not have Betulim? Like, would you get up and lie right in front of the person's face? You know, it's hard to imagine. So that's why they make sure the Chemvani is there. Ki hechi delich sefumine. So they'll be embarrassed. And, you know, they're not going to do it if they're embarrassed. Okay. So it doesn't prove anything about whether Rebbe, right, whether the Rebbe had his own shita. So now there's a debate, really. Did Rebbe have his own shita? Or, right, the Gemara seems to conclude Rebbe didn't have his own shita. He clearly held, like the Mishnah, that they have to swear. Itmar. Now there's a machloket. Shtei kitei edim ha-makishot zoet zo. This is an interesting machloket. You have two groups of witnesses that come to court and they each say things that are opposite each other. Okay? So one says this, one says the opposite. We don't know who's lying. What do? We dismiss the case, right? We can't deal with the case. But what do we know? We know that one group of witnesses is lying. Now what if those group of witnesses testify in other cases? Are they acceptable to be witnesses or not? Because they're suspect that they're chashud. If that one testifies in one case, we can believe them because they're suffic believable. If the other one testifies in a different case, we can believe them, suffic believable. Rav Chista Amar, b'hade sade shakra lamali, why would I want to get involved in a case where they're potentially liars? I wouldn't accept them. So now we're going to have four cases and we're going to say in which case do they argue and in which case don't they argue. Shnei malvim nushnei lovim ushnei shtarot. Let's say you have a malva and a lova, and a malva and a lova, and each one has a star, and each star is signed by a different group. Hainu plumtayu. That's their machloket, okay? There's one malva and a lova, there's a different malva and a different lova, and they each have a star, and each star is signed by somebody else, right? By the different, each group of witnesses. That's the case where we're either going to say, we hold like Rav Chista, and we say nobody's believed, or we hold like Rav Huna, both are believed. But malva velova ushne shtarot. Let's say you have one malva and one lova, and there were two loans. And one was signed by one group, and one was signed by the other group. So what do we say here? Let's say one was for 50 shekel, and one was for 100 shekel. Ya bala shtar la taftona. Since one is for sure a lie, so what do we say? The malva can only collect the lowest one. Right? The malva has the shtar in his hand. Since it's suffic, whether the 51 is true or the 100 one is true, we can only let him collect the 51. And everyone would agree with that. Shnei malvin velova echad ushnei shtarot. What if there's two people loaning out money to one person, and there's two different shtarot documents? That's hainu matnitin. This is like the case of our Mishnah. Okay, this is just like the case of the Chemvani. Okay, with the balabayit and the poalim, we're going to say there's two malves, there's one love, and there's two documents. So each malve thinks he's owed money from the same person, but we know that one isn't telling the truth, right? One star isn't telling the truth. So this is the same case where each malva is going to be able to collect his money based on, right? They can each swear that theirs is true. The truth is here, they don't even say they have to swear. But they each get to collect their loan because it's not clear which is the lie, okay? So they each get their money. And the last case is, and this one's going to end in a teku. We don't know what the halach is here. Shnei lovin umalva echad. Two different people who borrowed with one malva, and the malva has two shtarot. So do we say the malva can only collect from one of them, or do we say because it's two, right? When it was one person, so we said he clearly can't collect from that one person, ya bala shtar la tachtona. But here it's two different people. So can he collect from both of them independently, or do we say, no, sorry, but only one of them and gets his money? But it would seem to be logical to say, each one would pay him half or something like that, right? In theory, you could say that. Anyway, they end in a take where they don't know what the halal is.